So moved. Motion, Mr. Arlett. Second, Mr. Cole. Any questions? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Yes, motion carried. Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I will read the rules of procedure for county council zoning hearings at this point. When council holds public hearings on zoning applications, they are legislative hearings because council uses the information obtained during the hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. Sussex County, in its zoning land use decisions, does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, disability, familial status, sex, creed, marital status, age, or sexual orientation. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into consideration by the county in its deliberations. Each applicant shall be announced. The director will review with council the minutes and testimony from the P&Z hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the P&Z hearing and any recommendation made by the commission. The applicant will be called on to present and explain their application and present reasons supporting their application. Council may question the applicant and their witnesses. After the applicant has presented their application, council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. After that, any persons who oppose or question the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition or questions. After that, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing will be closed unless the council decides to leave the record open for a specific purpose and time period. Further, the applicant will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. If you intend to speak, you're required to come to the front, stand at the speaker stand, and state your name and home address before you make a statement. Please sign the sheet at the speaker stand. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. Do not repeat yourself. If you have a written statement, hand it to me, and it will be made part of the record. If there is more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that prior speakers have already stated. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, please take the time now to turn it off or switch it to silent service. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If the Planning and Zoning Commission deferred action, council will do likewise. The first hearing today is conditional use 2057 Delaware Electric Cooperative Inc. Ms. Cornwell.
Thank you. This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for an electrical substation to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 4.0 acres more or less. The property is located on the south side of Zor Road, Route 48, 3,300 feet east of Gravel Hill Road, Route 30, and 2,000 feet west of Larson Road, Road 296. The 911 address is not available. The tax map is District 234, Map 21, Parcel 138, it's a portion of. On September 22nd, 2016, the Planning Commission held a public hearing on the application. The application was filed on June 21st of 2016, where the appropriate survey site plan were submitted, and then on September 13th, 2016, the applicant filed an exhibit booklet for the consideration. The exhibit booklet was handed out just a minute ago, and then it contains a summary, a panoramic view of the site looking east and west, photographs of the existing Zor substation to be retired, a copy of the county notice to the property owners in the area, and a series of construction drawings and site plans relating to the application. During the public meeting on September 22nd, DelDOT did provide comments that were dated February 22nd of this year, referencing a TA traffic impact study was not required. and that no changes are anticipated in the level of service. They also found that the County Engineering Department Utility Planning Divisions provided comments September 19th, referencing that the site is located in the North Coastal Planning Area, that the proposed use is not in an area where the county has scheduled to provide sewer at this time, and when the county does provide sewer, that the on-site septic must be properly abandoned and connected to central sewer is a mandatory, and a concept plan is not required. The commission found that Terry Jaywork, Hudson Jones, Jaywork, and Fisher was present, along with Jack Jester, professional engineer with Delaware Electric Co-op, and they provided a presentation regarding their application. The commission found that there were no parties in support of this application. They did find that immediate neighbor, Betty Testerman, was not in opposition, but she did have questions regarding the substation and if it was retired. And that another person, Pam Glasgow, also had questions. The Planning Commission on the 22nd did recommend that the commission approve conditional use 2057 for the Delaware Electric Co-op based on the following, on the record and for the following reasons: that the conditional use for an electrical substation is of public nature and will promote the health, safety, and welfare of the residents of Sussex County. It is located on a large tract in a rural area and will have minimal impact on neighboring properties or adjacent uses. The co-op has stated that the substation is necessary to maintain and improve its electrical service to current and future residents of Sussex County, and that the conditional use is subject to the following conditions: A, the perimeter of the substation will be fenced; B, two signs shall be permitted on the fencing around the property to identify the site and emergency contact information; C, any security lighting shall be screened away from neighboring properties and county roads; D, landscaping shall be provided to screen the facility and adjacent properties and roadways; and E, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. And the motion was made by Mr. Ross and seconded by Mr. Burton and carried unanimously to forward the application to the County Council. Thank you.
Okay, any questions from council? Mm-mm. If not, Mr. Jaywork.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the council. My name is Terry Jaywork, Hudson Jones, Jaywork, and Fisher, and I'm here representing the cooperative today. You may recall that earlier this summer, the cooperative appeared in front of you requesting conditional use approval to build a warehouse on its headquarters in Greenwood. And at that time, we explained that the need for the new warehouse was because of the growth that we're having on our system. Since the year 2000, DEC's number of meters has grown at an average pace of 4.3%, going from 60,000 in the year 2000 to over 91,000 today. We're still growing at the rate of approximately 200 meters a month. The need for this new substation is part of that growth, but an additional reason is that this is one of DEC's oldest substations. It's had over 60 years in service, and it's reached the end of its useful life, and it needs to be replaced. In keeping with Mr. Vincent's comments before the hearing, he said he just like to keep the attorneys moving along, so I'm going to move along. I'm going to turn it over to Jack Jester. He's the engineer, and he'll go through the presentation. I would note as Jack comes up that because there's an existing transmission line that goes right by this site, and because we're replacing the old substation with the new substation, the character of the neighborhood will not change at all.
Got a lot of shrubbery in the back of it.
Good afternoon, Mr. President.
Good afternoon,
House
sir.
Members.
See shrubbery. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. You can.
Yes.
I'm Jack Jester.
You're up.
I represent Delaware Co-op, Greenwood, Delaware. And if I may, I'll go over the our presentation for briefly.
Certainly. Yes.
And thank you very much for allowing us to present this today. The substation, as Mr. Jaywork has mentioned, it's reached its lifespan and needs to be updated in order to serve the expanding load growth and development in the greater Georgetown, Millsboro, and Beach areas. And after the new facilities are built, we will retire the older substation, which will be just across the street. And this is a picture of the existing structure. You see the older wooden poles and the older equipment, and it's not as robust as needs be to serve our expanding customer base. And the new site would be directly across the street from that picture you just saw on the south side of the road, and we have negotiated terms with the developer owner of the property, which consists of approximately 4 acres. And that is the map of the site, and that location between the Georgetown and Millsboro areas is also centrally located in the customer base to be able to better serve their growing, expanded area. And also, that's the site location. And as Mr. J. Work mentioned, if you notice in the middle of the screen from top to bottom, that looks like a road, but it's actually a right-of-way. That's a Delmarva Power transmission right-of-way. And another reason, very importantly, to locate right across the street is we can tap the existing power lines there to serve our substation, and so the character of the area would not change because there's already existing equipment. And so that's what I've just mentioned there. And it's also important to note that if it were located in a different site, it would be very costly and very intrusive to have to run new lines to meet the new substation. And this is a site looking west. And if you notice a single pole in the middle of the screen, that is the approximate location where we would tap our new facility. So the wooden structure on the right hand, which is the north side, would be retired. And right around that pole area is where the new tap would be made to the equipment across the street. And in deference to our the developer owner, who had concerns because of his property and future building customers, chain link and slotted fence would enclose the perimeter of the site to protect the public. Security lights around the perimeter of the facility would point downward with side shields to prevent the lateral diffusion of light. And American arborvitae, evergreen trees, would provide a landscape buffer. And this is a street elevation view. And if I may, that pole area there is the approximate location where I noted on the previous picture where the tap would be made to the new facility. It will not generate traffic. Once constructed, it will be visited approximately twice a year by utility personnel for inspection and maintenance tasks. And no materials or equipment will be stored at the site.
Excuse me, you said twice a year. Your graphic said twice a month.
I beg your pardon. I'm sorry, twice a month.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for correction there.
We're listening.
And that is a layout of the proposed site. And thank you very much. Do you have any questions for me?
Any questions, Council?
Who owns land?
Mr. J. Work.
It's a limited liability company known as TP1. They have an address of Washington, D.C. And what they own is about a 375-acre tract of land. I believe they have...
Mr. J. Work, will you come up to the microphone, please, since it's being watched?
My apology. The owner of the land is TP1 LLC. They have a Washington, D.C. address. I don't think they have any immediate plans for development, but I sense that their long-range plans are for residential development someday in the future because they were very insistent on certain precautions about how we would put landscaping around the substation.
It doesn't have anything to do with that trade deal that they're doing with the
Trans-Pacific?
It's not the same group?
I don't think so.
Okay. similar letters.
Any other questions from council?
Are you for that?
Say no.
Any serious questions from council? Seeing none, did you have anything else?
Election time.
Anything else, Mr. J. Work, for your client? Or any of you?
I don't think we have anything else to offer unless the council members have any questions.
You're not buying it. You're not buying it, you're just leasing it?
No, we're buying the 4 acres. We're going to end things simple on the 4 acres.
And probably in a long time.
So then to answer your question, the property owner is going to be the co-op.
Okay.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else here today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone else today in favor of the application? Seeing none, is there anyone here today that wants to speak in opposition to this application? Anyone in opposition? Seeing none, Mr. President, we can close the public hearing on this matter and close the public record if it's the council's desire.
Thank you. We'll close public hearing. Okay, the council, close public record. Mr. Moore, read a short title, please.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for an electrical substation to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 4.0 acres more or less for reasons given by planning zoning numbered 1 through 3, and with the conditions 4A through E.
Pleasure, council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Arlet, second, Mrs. Dever, to approve conditional use number 2057 for the reasons from planning and zoning and with the conditions as stated. Any questions? Take the vote, Mrs. Dever.
I vote yes, because depending on and approving of what Planning and Zoning Commission has done here, they give four reasons, and I'm also talking, including my, the conditional uses in my vote, yes.
Cole?
I vote yes, because I think the Planning and Zoning Commission had the right conditions placed on it.
Charlet?
Yes, per Planning and Zoning's recommendations.
Wilson?
I'm going to vote yes, because I want to keep the lights on.
I also agree with Planning and Zoning's reasons and conditions, I vote yes, motion carried. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Mr. Moore?
And the next hearing is conditional use number 2058, Old Orchard Ventures LLC. Ms. Cornwell?
Thank you. This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an MR, medium-density residential district for multifamily duplex dwelling units for 24 units to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 9.33 acres more or less. The property is located on the northeast side of Old Orchard Road, Road 269A, approximately 1,115 feet southwest of New Road, Road 255. The 911 address is 16773 Old Orchard Road in Lewis. The tax map is District 335, map 8, parcel 25. Again, the Planning Commission held a public hearing on September 22nd of this year. The application was filed in July, and that included copies of the original site plan that was originally approved for Oyster Cove Development, a project that was sunset due to lack of development. They also submitted an exhibit booklet that is at your desks that included the original findings of fact for the conditional use, and that the entrance had been installed by Deldot. There were several people who spoke in opposition to the application, and staff also noted that Mr. Mark Dunkel from Parkese, Gerke and Swayze, and Mike Ryman from Becker Morgan Group represented the application. The Planning Commission held the public hearing. They deferred action on September 22nd. On October 13th of this year, they discussed the item under old business, and Mr. Burton moved that he would recommend approval of the conditional use, and for the following reasons, that the application for a conditional use was recommended for approval by the Planning and Zoning Commission on March 25th, 2010, and approved by County Council on July 20th, 2010, that prior approval expired. The property is in an area where other residential development has occurred, including townhouse, multifamily, and single-family developments. The project is consistent with those developments and will be a transition between adjacent single-family uses on one side and commercial zoning on the other side of the project. The project is in a development district according to the Sussex County Comprehensive Land Use Plan. The applicant has proposed only 24 duplexes, which is significantly less than the density that could occur under the existing MR, medium-density residential district zoning of the property. The development of the site with 24 duplexes will not have a significant adverse impact upon area traffic. The project was known as the Donovan site, which has been admitted into the DENREC brownfield program based on the existence of solid waste materials previously buried on the site. According to the applicant, DENREC has stated that the site is also suited for development. Cleaning up the site through redevelopment under the DENREC management plan will benefit the environment and the health and safety of the inhabitants of the project and surrounding area. With the stipulations placed upon this approval and based upon brownfield remediation program, there will be no adverse impact on neighboring and or adjacent properties, and this recommendation of approval is subject to the following conditions. There shall be no more than 24 dwelling units. The removal and disposal and monitoring of waste from the project site shall be in compliance with all DENRC requirements. The applicant shall form a homeowners or condominium association responsible for the perpetual maintenance of street, roads, any buffers, stormwater management facilities, and other common areas. All entrance, intersection, roadway, and multimodal improvements required by DLDOT shall be completed by the applicant in accordance with DLDOT's determination. The project shall be served by a central sewer in the city of Lewis and or Sussex County. Sewer service shall be available at the site prior to issuance of the first residential building permit. The project shall serve by public sewer, central water system providing adequate drinking and fire protection as required by applicable regulations. Stormwater management, erosion, and sediment control shall be constructed in accordance with applicable state and county requirements, and the project shall utilize best management practices to construct and maintain these features. The interior street design shall be done in accordance with or exceed Sussex County street design requirements. Sussex sidewalks shall be installed along at least one side of all streets. There shall be a vegetated buffer along the entire perimeter of the site pursuant to sections 115-218E and 99-4 of the Sussex County Code. The applicant shall submit as part of the site plan review a landscape plan showing the proposed tree and shrub landscape design for the site, including the buffer areas. Construction site work, grading, and deliveries of construction material, landscaping material, and fill on or off or to the property shall only occur between the hours of 7 a.m. and 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Road naming and addressing shall be subject to the approval of Sussex County Mapping and Addressing Departments. The applicant shall cooperate with the local school district's transportation manager to establish a school bus stop area. The bus stop area shall be shown on the final site plan. The final site plan shall contain the approvals of Sussex Conservation District for design and location of all stormwater management areas and erosion and control sediment control facilities. The final site plan shall depict the an easement for access to the property at the rear of the site. All site plan and condominium documents shall contain a notice that the site is a brownfield site, that the site plan shall identify the methods of monitoring the site before, during, and after cleanup. The final site plan and condominium documents shall contain a similar notice to the agricultural use protection notice that the site is in the vicinity of a concrete plant and the dust, noise, traffic, etc. associated with the plant. No certificate of occupancy shall be issued for any dwelling unit within the project until a certificate of compliance or completion of remedy or similar certification is issued by DENRC confirming that all brownfield remediation on the site has been completed to the agency's satisfaction. The requirement shall be included as a note on the final site plan for the development, and the final site plan for the development shall be subject to approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. And it was a motion by Mr. Burton, second by Mr. Ross, and carried unanimously. Thank you.
Any questions from council? If not, Mr. Dunkel.
Mr. President, members of County Council, Mark Dunkel, the attorney on behalf of the applicant. And I agree with everything that Ms. Cornwell just said and presented in tremendously excellent detail. And that is exactly our entire presentation.
So you're ready to sit down
now,
right?
I'm ready to sit down. I know I need to do a little bit more, but not
well, you're getting paid by the hour. Don't joke around with us.
Stretch it out.
Item number one. Actually, we were here before, as Ms. Cornwell announced, in July of 2010. We were very fortunate that council granted this very exact conditional use application, exact to a T. At that time, though, we also came through with the rezoning. We rezoned the property. So that was approved, obviously. So that's helpful. The market and also negotiating with our friends at DLDOT to use the railroad track right of way to run the sewer line took all this time, and our plan expired. But our zoning didn't because they don't coincide. So the zoning is still in place. We've brought back the identical plan. Where everything that Ms. Cornwell announced is accurate and correct. If we were so fortunate to receive the same approval and the same conditions, we would be tickled pink. I do have an engineer here to explain the plan. I also have another repeat performance, Mr. Jeff Bross of Duffield Associates. This is a brownfield site, and part of the point of the rezoning and last time and here today is this is how private business cleans up environmental sites that the state's not going to mess with because it's too small and they don't have any reason to clean it up. the number of units is key. The 24 units is how this developer has taken a chance to make an investment and clean it up and sell houses and hopefully make a profit at the end of the day. So that's really it in a nutshell. I do can represent that most of the people that spoke against were basically against the zoning, and they kind of realized during the planning and zoning hearing that the zoning was already done. Not to take anything away from their comments, but I think that was the gist of it. So we're back again. We're ready to go. We would really like to have your approval. But to make a record, I would like the engineer to come up and go through the plan. And I think you want to hear from Jeff Bross about the brownfields. But all the conditions that have been announced, they're all agreeable. And that's all I need to say right now. This is Mike Ryman with Becker Morgan.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. My name is Mike Ryman, Becker Morgan, 309 South Governors Avenue, Dover, Delaware, project engineer for the project. I'm going to be pretty brief. As Mark Dunkel had said, the application is identical to the original application. We didn't change a single thing. The project consists of 24 multifamily units. On a new road that accesses the Old Orchard Road. Actually, is this
doesn't work.
Oh no. All right. Well, you can see Old Orchard Road at the bottom of the page. We do have a stormwater facility that you see at the top of the page. That is a wet pond facility located adjacent to the woods and wetlands. We did go for it. it's an expensive pointer.
I'm sorry I brought
I couldn't
it up.
Resist. It was like, Mr. Cole got me started.
I'm sorry.
So we do have the woods and wetlands at the top of the property. We did have a wetland delineation done, and you're seeing that there. It's a pretty simple plan. We do have a 20-foot wide landscape buffer around the property that we're maintaining as required by code, and we are going to landscape that. We do have a berm that is located along Old Orchard Road. With some landscaping on it as well. We do have a playground amenity that is located in that vicinity. We do provide one interesting piece is there was an existing residential private access which ran along our southern property line, kind of in the hatched area, which accessed the home in the back. We actually have an executed easement agreement with that property owner to provide them access from our internal street. So you see the end of the cul-de-sac, that's a new driveway that would provide access to that homeowner in the back, and that's been negotiated and agreed to. And recorded. So that's a done deal. That was done before and is still in place. But we've actually completed the entrance work. That's completely done. It's been approved and that actually has been constructed. So the entrance has already been constructed, inspected, and approved, and the bonds released by DelDOT. So we have started some construction activity on the site. Unfortunately, not enough activity that would have maintained our approval, so that's why we're back here.
Any amenities? Did I miss something? Were there any amenities?
There was a playground
in the front.
Right in front.
Okay.
I see a swimming pool.
I got it. Right.
And the dirt's clean now too.
Okay. Any questions from council?
It was a landfill, if I understand correctly, from reading. And often it, the plume can move from place to place. Do you have someone who could talk to me about that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to let Mr. Bross answer that.
Thank you, Mike. Good afternoon. My name is Jeff Bross. I'm a registered professional engineer with Duffield Associates. We have offices in Georgetown, Dover, and Wilmington. Our firm was involved in the investigations of this site and the negotiation with DENREC of the brownfield cleanup program. Just to give you a little background, Ms. Deaver, to your point, this was a sort of an unregulated landfill since the early 60s. Yeah. DENREC became aware of it in the mid 80s and sort of did a number of their own investigations. When our client was ready to purchase the site around 2007, we were hired to assist in doing some investigations to make sure that the site, in fact, probably made sense to purchase. As a result of that effort, and I'm getting to your question, if you'll bear with me, I just thought a little background would be helpful. We conducted a number of site investigations, including a year's worth of groundwater monitoring. Specifically to your question about the plume, we found no indications of considerable off-site migration. We did find some contaminants in the groundwater. They were low level, but sufficiently elevated that they would impact residential construction. And so we continued our monitoring and it got it to a point where we were satisfied that we, and Denrec was certainly satisfied, that we had a condition that would in fact support residential construction. I would note that our client, as soon as he purchased the site, cleaned up most of the surficial debris. Mm-hmm. This was a landfill that basically had a lot of yard debris, construction debris, some motor vehicles that were disposed there, some appliances. And at one point, some transformers had been taken there by the city of Lewis, but those were removed. So we entered a brownfield program. We have negotiated what we call a CMMP, which is a contaminated materials management plan, which pretty much conforms to the conditions that you heard read today. During construction, our firm will be on site monitoring all excavation. We're going to be doing some additional monitoring of things like methane, just to make sure, because methane is an indicator of some buried debris. Obviously, visually, we're going to be looking at this, and we're going to prepare a report. If we see any conditions that are problematic, we'll make recommendations. They go to Denrec. Denrec has to agree. We don't expect that to be the case, but again, out of an abundance of caution, that's the plan that's been put in place, and our client has agreed to do that, and we will be monitoring the construction throughout.
Physically, how do you handle methane that like is likely to come up?
Well, I'm not sure it is, to be honest with you, likely. We didn't see any indications during our early investigations, but again, out of an abundance of caution, we monitor for that a number of ways. We actually have handheld monitoring devices. We can put sensing devices in the soil. And as I say, we don't anticipate that, but again, Denrec and our scientists, out of an abundance of caution, are going to be doing that. So if we find any, obviously it's usually the result of some buried debris. We're going to see if we can't find the buried debris and dig it up if we haven't found it already. As I say, we did pretty extensive investigations.
You're monitoring.
Yes.
And if necessary, you will dig out what is you think is causing that?
Yes.
Really?
That's yes.
Quite a job.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm familiar with the one on Plantation Road, which hasn't been built yet. I think it's been 5 years. So, yeah.
Any more questions of council? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
That really concludes our presentation, unless you have other questions, and we're certainly here to answer any questions that you might have.
Cole.
When it comes to the sale of these properties and stuff, will there be a disclosure up front to the potential buyers at, of this site being a Browns field? Is there any requirement for that?
I believe
does state law require that. I know
there's a requirement on the wells as well, right? Yeah, and so the answer will be yes.
Okay, because we hate to see people buying the things and then finding out about it after that.
No, and I think will have to be recorded an environmental covenant as well, so that would all be part of the disclosure, and that can be placed as a condition if council would like.
Conditions O and P?
O and P, okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
First one says all site plans and condominium documents shall be then notice that the site is a brownfield site.
Okay.
And then they also, about the similar thing to agriculture use, say there's a concrete plant in the vicinity, you'll have dust, noise, traffic,
okay.
Et cetera.
Right, good, yeah.
You're on top of it.
Yeah, those are great things, but I'm not seeing where the buyer, I mean, some of this, I know we're talking about, this will all be, let's see, the notice will be, it's almost something that we will see, and I'm sure comes through at settlement, but folks often don't see this kind of material or notice it, you know, at settlement. Is there any other way?
Well, this is, you know, they severely or enhanced the condominium statute, as you know. There's all kinds of packets now that have to be disclosed and delivered to buyers.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to have to be part of that disclosure of the condominium documents.
Okay.
And buyers can cancel the condominium purchase once they receive those documents. They can actually cancel. So
right.
I think that a lot of us didn't like how they amended it, but it's been amended and has a lot of safety valves now.
Uh-huh.
And it has to be complied with. So I think those conditions that President read off will be part of the condominium package. We can accommodate that. I mean, the last thing that my client wants is for someone to think that they didn't know what they were buying, because all of this is a public record, what we've done here and what we've done before, and that would just be, and that's just not how he operates. So, but we would make sure that it would be disclosed.
So at what point do you stop monitoring?
That's an answer for Mr. Bross and ultimately for DENREC. They have a, what they call a legacy sometimes.
Well, when we think we're done, we tell DENREC we think we've adequately monitored
that'll be
the
up
site.
To them.
And then we get a certificate of completion of remedy. It's called a COCR.
Yeah.
Again, this site is certainly not anywhere among the worst that we've seen in Delaware.
It
frankly is fairly mild, and we hope it sustains that description as we go through construction. But again, we're taking the steps to make sure that happens. As I say, I'm reasonably optimistic. When we have completed our field reviews during construction, we will obtain our COCR from DENREC.
And they won't. They'll be on public water, will they not?
Yes. Yeah, yes.
No wells.
No wells.
So it's good.
So, and as I say, the advantage of being in the brownfield program is the people who are buying these homes can take some comfort that there was a very rigorous environmental investigation and cleanup, if it was needed, that took place. So we build a lot of residential communities now on brownfields in Delaware.
Oh, good. So. Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah, good.
He knows Mr. Dunkel, do you have anyone else?
No one else, but we would just kindly ask your consideration of approval of our application.
Okay, thank you.
That's correct.
Yes. Is there anyone else here today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone here today speak in favor? Seeing none, is there anyone here today that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Anyone in opposition? Seeing none, Mr. President, we can close the public hearing on this matter, and if council desires, close the public record.
Hearing. It's okay with council, close public record. Ask Mr. Moore to read a short title.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an MR medium density residential district for multifamily duplex dwelling structures, 24 units, to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 9.33 acres, more or less, for the reasons given by planning and zoning numbered 1 through 7 in your packet, with conditions numbered 8A through R.
Pleasure, Council.
I have to make a motion.
Motion, Mr. Wilson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Arlett, to grant conditional use 2058 for the reasons stated by planning and zoning and with the conditions placed by planning and zoning. Questions on the motion?
The only thing I have question is we had no opposition in here, and planning and zoning is indicating the same, if I understand here.
There were two or three people, I think, yes.
No opposition? Yes. There was opposition.
There was two or three, I think. There they had some questions or something. Mm-hmm.
Right, zoning. Mm-hmm.
There was some.
About the zoning more than anything else, I think.
Yep.
Any more questions?
We take a vote.
We're going to take a vote. Mrs. Deaver.
Yes, I'm voting yes because I'm seeing all the work that planning and zoning's done, and that will be a vote, including the conditions.
Mr. Cole.
I'll vote yes with the conditions.
Mr. Arlett.
I also, too, shall vote. Yes, per the conditions set forth with planning and zoning and the recommendations, and I think it's a great thing to repurpose a brownfield for this purpose, so thank you.
I think so.
Mr. Wilson.
I vote yes with recommendations of planning and zoning.
I also agree with their reasons and recommendations and findings. I also agree it's a good thing to get rid of brownfields when we can and utilize them for something that's beneficial. I vote yes, motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Dunkel, I'll always remember you now as Vanna Dunkel. You did a beautiful Vanna White impersonation.
I always love coming down here, and I didn't have to show my passport.
Thank you. The next hearing is conditional use number 2059, Julie Norwood.
And this is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a beauty salon to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 24,205 square feet, more or less. The property is located in the northwest corner of John J. Williams Highway, Route 24, and Retz Lane, a private road. The 911 address is not available, and the tax ID is District 334, Map 12, Parcel 25. The Planning Commission found that the application was filed on July 19th of this year with a survey and a site plan. DLDOT provided comments on July 1st in the form of a letter that stating that a traffic impact study was not required. The County Engineering and Utility Department provided comments in September 19th of this year, indicated that the property was in the sewer district, but it's not available at this point. Mr. Link informed the commission that there were two letters in support of the application, and that the commission found that Miss Julie Norwood was present on behalf of the application, and then there were several people in support of the application. The Planning Commission held their public hearing on September 22nd. At that meeting, the Planning Commission moved to defer action for further consideration. The application was put on the October 13th, 2016 Commission application and was discussed under old business. The Commission expressed some concerns that the original conditional use for Mr. Norwood on this property had not until recently submitted for a site plan. And they had some concerns about that being approved. So Mr. Burton made a motion, seconded by Mr. Ross, to defer action for further consideration. That was approved unanimously. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Is any questions from council? If not, is Ms. Julie Norwood here, please, or someone in her behalf?
Oh, gosh, Norwood. That's my neighbor.
Hello, my name is Pete Norwood, and I'm here for Julie Norwood today in reference to this condition of use.
Okay, you can go ahead with your presentation.
Okay. Yes, we have put in for a conditional use for a salon. It has two employees. It will start out with two employees and eventually have the ability to have four employees. That's as large as it will be. It'll never be larger than that because the property is not big enough and the location is not big enough for anything more. I have some pictures here of what the property was and what it is now. Would anyone like to see that?
Yeah, pass them right down to her, please. Yep.
Definitely make an improvement to the community that exists there, I think I was told by a letter that I got from Planning and Zoning that the deferment was due to an original list of requirements for the cleaning business, which I apologize, I was not aware of that. I thought everything was done as far as that. But since I got that letter, I've moved to have a site plan done, which was a request for that. And also, I stopped by the Sussex Conservation Unit, and they provided me an exempt letter, which I provided to Planning and Zoning Office. So the only other two requirements for the old cleaning business left are the DLDOT for the parking and also State Fire Marshal. They said he has to come through and check the office out. That's about all I have.
You say the old cleaning business was there.
You're not East Coast window cleaning.
Well, you still have that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I'm going to count on that.
No, absolutely.
Okay.
What I read here is there are going to be two businesses now located on this.
Correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's what the Planning and Zoning is looking at, two businesses.
Correct.
One's already approved.
One's already approved. We just have to meet the other two conditions, which is the State Fire Marshal and DLDOT.
Okay.
Has DENREC talked to you about the well? And septic? You are on well and septic?
Yes, well and septic, correct.
Will you be washing all your towels and whatnot right there?
Correct.
Okay. Any other?
That's up to DENREC.
Any other questions from council? Do you have anything else to add?
No, that's about it.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else here today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone else in favor? Seeing none, is there anyone here today that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Anyone in opposition? Seeing none, we can close the public hearing on this matter. And, Mr. President, if it's council desires, close the public record. Planning and Zoning has not acted on this, so we cannot vote on this matter today.
Right. We'll close the public hearing.
Yes.
Okay, Mr. Counsel, close the public record.
Mm-hmm.
Entertain a motion to defer.
Yes.
Motion, Mr. Deaver, second, Mr. Cole. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Charlotte.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
We have motion carried. Next.
Okay, thank you. It's change of zone number 1809 MOCA Properties LLC, Solid Image. Ms. Cornwell.
Thank you. This is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Little Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 6.24 acres more or less. The property is located on the east side of Sussex Highway, US Route 13, 650 feet south of Whitesville Road, Route 64. The 911 address is 11244 Whitesville Road in Laurel. The tax ID is map District 532, Map 6, Parcel 87.02. The application was filed on July 25th of this year. DelDOT has a letter from dated November 19th of 2015 that is a letter of no objection to recordation for the entrance for the location only. The Utility Planning Division of Sussex County Engineering Department provided comments September 19th. The commission found that Warren Reed of Mocha Properties LLC and Solid Image was present on behalf of the application, as was Mike Smith, Esquire of Smith Firm, and they presented the application. At the conclusion of that public hearing on September 22nd, Mr. Ross stated that he would move the commission recommend approval of the change of zone based on the following reasons: that the site is located along US Route 13, Sussex Highway, that this location is appropriate for CR1 commercial residential zoning district. The site is in an area where other commercial and industrial zone properties exist. The property itself is the subject of a conditional use and historically been used for business and commercial purposes. The CR1 commercial residential district zoning will be consistent with the area's zoning and also the prior uses of the property. The proposed use will not adversely affect neighboring or adjacent properties or roadways. The applicant will be required to meet or exceed all DelDOT requirements. CR1 commercial zoning district is appropriate since the county zoning code states that the purpose of such zoning is to provide for a wide variety of commercial and service activities generally serving a wide area, and that such uses should be located along existing major thoroughfares where a general mixture of commercial and service activities now exist. In this case, the rezoning along US Route 13 falls within the stated purpose of the CR1 district. No parties appeared in opposition to the rezoning, and the motion was made by Mr. Ross, seconded by Mr. Hudson, and carried unanimously to recommend approval to the County Council. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any questions from Council? If not, Mr. Carey.
Good afternoon, Mr. President, Council members. Blake Carey from the Smith Firm on behalf of Mocha Properties LLC and Solid Image Inc. I also have with me Warren Reed, who's the principal member of both. Mocha Properties is the owner of the property. Solid Image Inc. Is the occupant of the property. I'll mirror what my colleague, Mr. Dunkel, said. Ms. Cornwell explained the scope and contents of the application exceedingly well. But if I stand up here long enough, I might be able to get my kitchen redone through barter work.
Perfect.
So I'll take my time here. But in all actuality, this is pretty short and sweet. The buildings on the property, there are two right now. One is currently being used as a countertop fabrication building. It's subject the property to a conditional use that was given to Solid Image and Mocha Properties in December of 2013. Two conditions of that were that no retail sales were permitted at the property and no formal displays of countertops on the property. Based upon the changes in the business and the plans of the business to expand, we're here today seeking the rezoning of that parcel. Right now, the actual retail store of Solid Image is up the road on the southbound lane of 13, which creates a bit of a problematic logistical issue when someone is going to that store and then decides they'd like to see the countertops, which are kept at the location of the property we're here seeking rezoning for. So with the expanding of the business, the applicant would like to seek the rezoning so that the retail sales can take place at that property, as well as the displays of the countertops, etc. The applicant does not intend to make any sort of footprint change with respect to the buildings on the property. Rather, the interiors of those buildings are going to be improved. We have provided a packet, or there should be a packet in front of you, that includes aerials of the property. Ms. Cornwell might have those.
I do. All that.
Sorry about that.
Do we have it? Have we have enough for it? Everyone, I don't know. What's that?
You can share with Rob.
We're good. I share with George.
Oh, here, she's got more.
Oh, more.
She's got more. You keep at
them. We've got a bonus.
Yeah.
We've got extras. Oh, my Lord.
Shoo. Take your time. The clock's running, so we're fine.
Pass that down, Zane. Pass that down, Zane. Never mind. We got it. You keep at them.
As I mentioned, however, the plans are in that packet, as well as aerials of multiple sites and photographs of multiple sites around the area. It's on the Route 13 corridor. You have businesses that include commercial strip centers, landscaping retail business, auto repair and auto sales, heavy equipment sales, appliance sales. There's a Bobcat dealer along the way, and furniture stores as well. So based upon the use of the surrounding property, we would argue and respectively be of the position that this does not have an adverse impact on the surrounding properties or neighboring properties. And that concludes my presentation, but if you have any other questions, Mr. Reed is here as well to answer any that you may have.
Just the entrances, I was, the entrance isn't off of Sussex Highway?
No. Currently, no. The proposed entrance would be an ingress only off of Sussex Highway, and then there would be an ingress and egress off of Whitesville Road.
Okay, and that's what you're submitting to the DelDOT people for
yes,
approval?
Yes, I believe they,
entrance,
yes.
Entrance only off of Highway.
Correct, okay. Correct. And that's yep. That's been approved, and there's a letter of no objection.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Any other questions? If not, Mr. Carey,
No more shrimp, huh?
Jeez.
No more shrimp.
Okay, if
is there a conflict of interest there, Mr.
No, they used to grow shrimp there sometime back before he was there. That's all.
Oh, I'm just wondering if you're
they may have a box of shrimp or shrimp there. I don't know, whatever.
No more shrimp.
Yes.
That concludes our presentation.
Okay, is there anyone here today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone in favor? Seeing none, is there anyone here today that would like to speak in opposition? Anyone in opposition? Seeing
the bus is pulling up, just a second.
We'll wait.
No, it's a school bus. I'm sorry.
Seeing none, at this point, we can close the public hearing on this matter, Mr. President. And if it's your desire, close the public record.
We'll close public hearing. Okay, the council close public record.
Yes.
Ask Mr. Moore read a short title.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Little Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 6.24 acres more or less for reasons given by planning zoning numbered 1 through 6 in your packet.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Arlett. Second, Mrs. Deaver. The grant changes zone number 1809 for the reasons stated by planning and zoning numbers 1 through 6. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
I vote yes, including the reasons they gave. For the
Cole.
I'll vote yes. It's the changes as appropriate. It's on a major thoroughfare. It's got the approved entrances and exits already in place. So I'll vote yes.
Mr. Arlett.
Yes, I too shall vote yes per planning and zoning's recommendation, and it is a perfect location for this change of zone being on the highway like that, and wish you the well.
Mr. Wilson.
I vote yes for P&Z's recommendation.
I also agree with P&Z's reasonings. It certainly makes sense. It is accessed off Route 13. I vote yes. Motion carried.
No motion
to adjourn.
So yes.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mr. Deaver. Any questions? Take the vote, Mr. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Charlotte.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. We're adjourned.